There's not a lot of good news coming out of the Israel conflict. I suppose it's never been safer to be gay in Gaza thanks to the lack of rooftops to be thrown from, so maybe Queers for Palestine can finally arrange that exchange trip. Also, I found out that Hamas have a Minister for Health. What does he do? Sew heads back on? And the eternally irritating Doom unit Greta Thunberg revealed herself to be a knob by siding with Hamas. She doesn't like us burning coal, but she has no problem with emissions from burning civilians apparently. She's not alone. Across the West, woke leftists joined Islamists in celebrating Hamas's attacks and calling for the extermination of Israel. But if you were shocked to see students and professors siding with terrorists, the good news is that it's triggered a wave of revulsion that could have finally broken wokeness. And like everything, it comes down to money. Wokeism started in elite universities, so it's only natural that they led the support for Hamas. A coalition of more than 30 student groups at Harvard posted an open letter on the night of the Hamas attack, saying that Israel was entirely responsible for the violence. Showing just how privileged these luxury beliefs are, this was led by the son of Jo Malone. That's a fancy soap brand, by the way, not a film starring Macaulay Culkin. Students at schools and universities everywhere marched in support of a place they couldn't find on the map. An Israeli student was attacked with a stick at Columbia University. There were pro-Hamas demonstrations by British students too. Here you can see Manchester medical student Adnan Kassad simultaneously celebrating and denying Hamas atrocities. Young people everywhere blithely regurgitated Hamas propaganda as if it was gospel. I mean, Hamas wouldn't lie, would they? Oh, you can trust what Hamas say. I buy all my used cars from Hamas. A survey of attitudes to the attack on Israel showed an insane age divide, with half of young people saying the slaughter of civilians was justified, while most accepted that it's genocide. This means a large chunk of young people think that genocide is okay. All this time the ADL has been warning us about white supremacy being the biggest threat to Jews, turns out it's the pronoun brigade. If anything, it's the white supremacists who'll save Israel, and an ADL member of staff had to stand down. But back to the students. Dana Abu Kamar, a student diversity representative at Manchester University, certainly had some diverse opinions, telling Sky News, "We're really full of joy, full of pride at what has happened. This time it was Hamas who have taken the first move, which has taken Israel by surprise. We are proud that Palestinian resistance has come to this point." But she's got pronouns in her bio, so she's a good person. If you're hoping the adults stepped in to correct the students, then I'm sorry. The professors saw an opportunity to get down with the kids, so they put a keffiyeh on their heads, sat in a chair the wrong way around, said, "Hey guys, let's vibe," and joined in. Columbia professor Joseph Massad described the scene of Palestinian fighters from Gaza breaking through Israel's prison fence as awesome. Cornell professor Russell Rickford described Hamas attacks as exhilarating, as if they went jet skiing instead of beheading people.
"It was exhilarating! It was exhilarating! It was energetic! I was exhilarating!"
Dr. Aisha Khan is a senior member of Vanderbilt University. She goes by the moniker Woke Scientist on social media and describes herself as a non-binary abolitionist, anarchist, and infectious diseases specialist. She charges $75 for an online workshop on healing from capitalism. She posted celebrating Hamas's attack on civilians, calling anyone who takes issue with Hamas's violence as privileged. She thinks those babies deserve to be killed. They knew exactly what they were doing being born in Israel. Aisha doesn't just want to decolonize Israel, she wants to decolonize medicine, presumably by removing all Western medicines from the list of treatments. Well, good luck treating septicemia by shaking some bones instead of using antibiotics, Aisha. It got worse. Mika Toska is a professor of climate science who was assigned male at birth, correctly, judging by this picture of her looking like a WWF wrestler. She said, "Israelis are pigs, savages, very, very bad people, irredeemable excrement. The propaganda has been downright evil. After the past week, if your eyes aren't open to the crimes against humanity that Israel is committing and has committed for decades and will continue to commit, then I suggest you open them. It's disgusting and grotesque. May they all rot in hell." She later transitioned away from this opinion, saying, "I promise to be better. I hope you can forgive me." I'll look at the backtracking in a moment, but before I do, I've got to tell you about a UC Davis professor who threatened the children of journalists. Gemma DeCristo said, One group of people we have easy access to in the US is all these Zionist journalists who spread propaganda and misinformation. They have houses with addresses and kids in school. She ended with images of a cleaver, an axe, and drops of blood. And pronouns, probably. I mean, you wouldn't want to get into trouble by not announcing your pronouns. It's weird to see the same people who'd report you to the police for misgendering them blithely calling for genocide of an entire race. I'm surprised they're not complaining that the Israeli counteroffensive is racist because it's stopping an indigenous Muslim population from practicing their cultural heritage of executing infidels. With professors acting like this, no wonder students were attacking Jews and celebrating Hamas's terrorism. They probably thought they'd get extra course credit. Well, none of the students or professors saw the backlash coming. Funders of the universities pulled their financial support in disgust. Les Wexner, the billionaire behind Victoria's Secret, pulled funding from Harvard, criticising its leadership for not condemning the antisemitism. Ironically, Victoria's Secret is no longer going to provide very expensive support for posh fannies. Estee Lauder heir Ronald Lauder decided to cut funding to Pennsylvania. I can't help but feel that some of these people are just using it as an excuse to spend the money on a new yacht instead. Billionaire Mark Rowan, who donates $50 million at a time, that's a lot of Che Guevara posters, called on other donors to follow him in cutting funding until the leadership at University of Pennsylvania was changed to be a little less Third Reich-y. The Huntsman family, who funded the main building at Wharton, described their alma mater as unrecognisable and announced they would close their checkbook. This is a real Bud Light moment for universities. Harvard and Pennsylvania alone could lose $500 million. I mean, who'd have thought it would be a bad idea for universities to alienate a demographic group who spend a lot of money funding universities? You must have to be very smart to work that one out, because these professors couldn't. It wasn't just funders who were outraged, potential employers of the students were too. Raina Workman, the president of NYU's Student Bar Association, who describes herself as black, queer and non-binary to get maximum points, sent a newsletter to the entire school saying, "Hi y'all." Ugh, why has everyone who calls themselves non-binary got to say y'all as if they work in a petrol station in Alabama? "Hi y'all, I want to express first and foremost my unwavering and absolute solidarity with Palestinians. Israel bears full responsibility for this tremendous loss of life." Winston & Strawn, the corporate law firm that had offered Raina a six-figure job, rescinded its offer. Not long after, the Bar Association removed her as president. Hedge fund manager Bill Ackman tweeted, "I've been asked by a number of CEOs if Harvard would release a list of the members of each of the Harvard organizations that have issued the letter assigning sole responsibility for Hamas's heinous acts to Israel, so as to ensure that none of us inadvertently hire any of their members. If, in fact, their members support the letter they've released, the names of the signatories should be made public so their views are publicly known." Lots of other CEOs followed suit. Of course, this may not be because of the students' opinions. Employers may have just seen an opportunity to blacklist potential employees who are likely to be lazy, entitled, and annoying, and introduce themselves with their pronouns and report you to HR for any slight microaggression that they perceive you to do. Someone hired a digital truck and put the names of the pro-Hamas students on the side and drove around the campus at Harvard. A virtue signal had become a viciousness signal. With their careers on the rocks, students desperately tried to backpedal. One student said, "I'm a Harvard law student, so I know many members had no say in whether their organization signed either letter. Many weren't even notified that their organizations were considering doing so. No need for this level of harassment." Maybe as a law student, you'd show better lawyerly instincts if you exercised a little due diligence over who you enlisted to speak on your behalf. A South Asian Harvard student group put out a statement to formally apologize for its involvement in the letter and to clarify that they stand in solidarity with both Israeli and Palestinian victims and families. Student Danielle McAlean said, "I'm sorry for the pain this caused. I didn't even see the statement until we had signed on." So Danielle, you signed a letter before reading it? That apology looks worse to an employer than the actual letter. Why are they backpedaling? Surely if these are their firmly held, strident beliefs, they'll stand by them. But no, the slightest hint of it hurting their career and they flip-flop. This shows how brittle this veneer of wokeism is. Nobody really believes in any of it. The pronouns, the gender woo-woo, the decolonialism. They're just pretending because it's the expedient thing to do. As soon as there's a cost attached to these opinions, they collapse like a shoddily built apartment block hit by an Israeli J-dam. The Hamas attacks exposed the contradictions in woke ideology. You've got queers cheering on people who would behead them, atheists cheering on religious extremists, feminists cheering on hardcore misogynists, humanitarians standing up for people who livestream the slaughter of civilians. Woke ideology says that minorities can only be oppressed victims. In reality, the Hamas top brass are billionaires living in Qatar, sending their kids to Swiss schools with all the money they've creamed off of aid budgets. And far from being the victim of colonialism, Islam is a colonizing force. It's spread through the Arab world in a series of conquests, and even now the tiny pockets of Christianity in Lebanon and Judaism in Israel are being squeezed out. But this goes against the religion of wokeism, which states that everything is the fault of white people. Owen Jones even hilariously suggested that Hamas only execute gays because of a 1936 British law in the region that outlawed homosexuality. Great point, Owen. Looks like we owe Hamas an apology. Since Hamas are such sticklers for the law, maybe we could rewrite it to make killing civilians illegal and stop all the bloodshed. And people are re-evaluating what woke means. For a long time, having woke opinions was a no-lose prospect. You call for things that sound good, like inclusion, multiculturalism, minorities, and decolonialism. You stand against things that sound bad, like systemic oppression, colonialism, apartheid. Everyone claps and says what a kind and tolerant person you are. Well, it turns out the bad things are good. Colonialism means civilization. Apartheid means you have a wall to stop terrorists killing you. Systemic oppression means you have a rule of law. And the good, woke things are bad. Inclusivity means including opinions that wouldn't be out of place in 1930s Germany. Multiculturalism means parallel cultures who want to exterminate certain races. And decolonialism means butchering children. But you can't blame the students, they're just parroting the Marxist anti-Western ideologies that have been allowed to flourish on university campuses. So, if some good comes of this conflict, the normies who support wokeism and call for open borders and multiculturalism are now seeing what these things actually mean. I think this heralds a final turning point against wokeism, and all it took was them supporting mass murder. Wokeism started in the universities, hopefully it's starting to end in the universities too. Anyway, thanks for watching. If you've enjoyed this video, please share it with a blue-haired student to wind them up, and consider becoming a Patreon to support me making these videos. You get Patreon-only content and live streams and stuff, and I get money to help me construct the nuclear bunker my family will undoubtedly need in about 2 years. Anyway, thanks for watching. I've been Luke Hearst. Bye. Bye.